Welcome, everybody, to episode 359 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, July 3rd, I almost said 4th, 2019. See, I'm thinking ahead already. I want to get to the weekend, please. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by John James Jacoby, who is Hi. With us after 2 weeks of no showing. I'm just kidding. You're out doing your travels, and Malcolm Peralta did a great job subbing in for you. And I don't know if you listen to any of those episodes on the way home, but he put out the offer that he's available at any time should the need come up.
You know, I don't think I've met Malcolm in person. I feel bad that I don't remember, but like, he does a good job. He does better than I do. So I don't know why you have me here. Yes. You know, so
don't make me question my decisions.
If every episode that I'm on the show doesn't already make you question it, Jeff, then I feel like you never will.
Oh boy. So great to have you back. We'll get into
sort of
your review of WordCamp Europe later on in the show. But I'm looking forward to today's guest and the topic today. Her name is Jill Binder. She is the founder and chief consultant and trainer at Diverse Speakers in Tech. She leads the Diverse Speaker Training Group in the WordPress.org community team, which encourages underrepresented people to speak at WordPress events. And she also helped organize the first Buddy Camp and for 3 years co-organized WordCamp Vancouver. Jill, thanks a lot for being on our show today.
Thanks so much for inviting me to be here. I'm really excited to be here.
All right. We've been working on this for a little while. Sorry, John, I cut you off.
No, it's okay.
Vicky and I go way back from the camp that I helped organize in 2012. And I'm meeting Jeff. Well, we've been talking for a while about being on the show, and I'm actually talking with you now.
It's awesome. Exactly. I'm so happy to see you again or hear you again for our listeners. Man, Buddy Camp Vancouver was a long time ago.
It was.
But I remember that. That was the first.
We can reminisce later. It was the first.
And wasn't that Whistler?
Vancouver, actually.
Vancouver. Yeah. There's some other Buddy Pretz event that I think was up at Whistler.
That was the memory that sticks out in my mind is of me, myself, Paul Gibbs, Andy Peatling, Ray, and Boone. I think Boone, maybe not Boone, but Matt also. All of us got together and got to talk about Buddy Press and all that. Was a good time. It was a lot of fun.
And by the way, 2012 at WordCamp Vancouver, Sarah Gooding was there, and she was actually a presenter at that WordCamp.
It was the first
WordCamp.
That's right.
So a little bit of history there, pop quiz history, if you're ever on WordPress Jeopardy. But Jill, this is the first time of having you on the show, and what I like to do with everybody is learn about their WordPress origin story. So how did you get involved and started with WordPress?
Sure, yeah. So how did I start with WordPress? It was I was doing a college program in 2010 and 2011, and my practicum that I got at the end of it was in WordPress. And we kind of dabbled in it in class, but I didn't really understand it. So I got to just kind of trial by fire, learn about it. And it happened to be a Buddy Press project, which is how the Buddy Camp thing started, but that in a second. So basically, I start posting on Facebook and Twitter, oh, I have this WordPress project. And suddenly everybody said, can you help me with my WordPress website? And suddenly I had all the WordPress work I could ever want. And for most of that time, I was a WordPress freelancer. And I was actually going to tell this story, thanks to doing that Buddy Press contract, that practicum advisor kept me on. And then I helped him with a lot of Buddy Press sites. And then when he started thinking about creating the first Buddy Camp, he asked if I'd help organize it. And that's, I think, the first time that JJJ and I met, as we said.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think so, too. Funny.
And how cool is that? How often do we have origin stories that involve Buddy Press?
not often enough, but yes.
Or origin stories that involve the hosts.
Ah, that's right. That's true, too. Yeah. That's cool.
That as well. So tell us a little bit about how you – a great title, by the way, for your HeroPress essay. But tell us a little bit about the journey and how you've become the accidental activist.
Thank you. It literally did feel like an accident. And actually, I love that we do my origin story first because it went from there. So I was helping to organize Buddy Press. I was asked after that, people saw what a great job I did and asked if I would help organize WordCamp Vancouver in 2013. And that's when I learned that speaker diversity is a problem. We only had we had 52 speaker applications, and only 7 of them were from underrepresented people, specifically women, but also underrepresented in general. And so in the end, we only had 14% diverse speakers at our event. And people noticed, and people complained. People wrote blog posts about it. People talked to us privately about it.
What still happens today at WordCamps, noticed that you have panel sessions that are made up of panels, and everyone on the panel is a white male, and the person moderating the panel is a white male, people take notice, and you see people tweeting about this. It's still a thing. It's still a problem. Yeah.
Absolutely. And side note on panels, in 2018, Vancouver had the highest percentage of women speakers. It was 63%, but a bunch of them were on a panel, and the organizers told me, I don't know if they count, they're on a panel. I'm like, are you kidding me? Having a panel of only the white guys would be terrible. Of course it counts. Not that it's terrible, exactly. But I'll talk later, I'm sure, about, you know, why diverse voices are important, but sticking on the current story. So discovered it was a problem, and some feminist friends of mine, I was telling them that this was a problem and kind of said out loud, the thing that was coming up. So there's a lot of reasons why people don't want to apply to speak. And the one thing that kept coming up over and over when I started asking more people more intentionally was, I wouldn't know what to talk about. I'm not an expert in anything. Who would want to hear from me anyway? And so some feminist friends of mine heard this and said, why don't you just get them together in a room and brainstorm ideas? And that was the seed that planted the idea that is now a 4-hour workshop. One of the exercises in the workshop is the brainstorming, where we give prompts and help people see that they have hundreds of ideas, maybe not hundreds, but you know, usually they come out with between 10 and 50. So to any number is more than they came in with usually, which is fantastic. And also a little shout out to Morten. And this, I wanted to give a little example of, people are always asking me, I'm a white guy, I'd like to be an ally, how can I help? Great story about Morten. I went to our WordPress meetup and said, hey, I have this idea, let's hold a brainstorming session. And he said, no, you hold a brainstorming session. And I was like, I'm busy, I can't do that, I don't know how. A lot of the same reasons that people gave us about not speaking. And and he said, you are doing it. And I explained, I'm a visionary, not a detail person. So he got some other women together to create the details of this workshop. And then in the end, several cities started adding to it. And then Andrea Middleton, and at the time, Jen Milo, back in 2013, when she was still part of WordPress, got wind of what we were doing and said, we want you to take the best from all the cities and write a script that anyone anywhere can write, can do, and make sure it's not just women, it's all diversity. And that is how the workshop was born, which we're still adding to and polishing all the time. But that's the birth story of the workshop itself. And then should I just continue on and talk about how I started the group? Or
I mean, you mentioned Jen Milo, and that's one of the small legacies she leaves on the WordPress project to this day. Her impact is her dedication to try and get more diverse people within leadership and within the WordPress project and at WordCamps in general. Her and Andrew Middleton. And on the topic of Morten, it totally makes sense that he would do something like that. If you take a look at what he did at the previous WordCamp US, where he shared the stage, the limelight, with underrepresented people who may not have had an opportunity to have their voice on that kind of a stage.
Absolutely. He's always been such a great model for diversity, and one of his other big loves, accessibility. They go hand in hand, but they are kind of, they're together but separate for topics. And he, just like myself and a lot of people, people like him and us really want the web to be used by all. We want opportunities for all. We want to see dynamic, diverse communities. We want to see, you know, the people who create it and the people who speak about it are the same people who are using it. And WordPress is so user-friendly that the kinds of people who are using it is very varied out there, and we can get even more by focusing more on diversity.
So this script that you're talking about essentially becomes a curriculum that you can use to train other people. Mm-hmm. And now we can actually use this to spread the wealth.
Yeah.
You know, to get absolutely. More trainers and get more people involved. How has this worked out so far over the past 2 years?
So we've been using this script since 2014, and I've been leading the team to promote and train it since end of 2017. So I'm able to talk about it over, 4 or 5 years now? Oh my gosh. I feel like a lot of my life has been in this project. It has gone really well. So in the first few years, the groups who grabbed it and started running it typically went from, well, actually, in all that time, from the first ones to the current version that it's in now, groups typically go from about 10% or less diverse speakers to usually about 50% or even more, which is amazing. Can you imagine mm-hmm. that one workshop and some best practices can create such big change and help change communities?
And I think part of that is when you do the workshop, you by going through these things and by talking to people, it instills confidence. They start realizing they can actually do this, that they don't have to be afraid. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to see the end results is that they get involved with speaking, which translates into being able to or recognizing the fact that, hey, if I can do this and be on this stage, maybe I can participate in other parts of the project.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of want to say a little bit more about the workshop content, the conference, okay. and more about what happens sure. when they start speaking, which is my real passion. It's the what happens next. But the workshop content, so we go through imposter syndrome. You know, that's a phenomenon that happens for most people where they feel like they're not good enough to be doing something, and soon everybody else will find out. The difference is whoever is the majority of a population, so in North America, the white men, won't let it stop them. They'll say, oh, I know a little bit about something, I'll go ahead and do this thing. Whereas diverse people will say, oh, I only know a little bit, I'm not going to do this thing. So I'm not saying it's only for diverse people. It's an issue for everybody. So we talk about imposter syndrome. We talk about what are the myths of the person standing up in front of the stage. It's not necessarily the expert who knows everything, especially in WordPress, where it's such a community-driven thing. So it's just everybody sharing the bit of knowledge that they have. Different people have different perspectives on a topic that somebody may have heard already before. They can also bring in new ideas that people haven't heard before. And then after that, we go through the actual, come up with a topic, come up with a title. And then after we first started the workshop, we discovered people wanted more. So we added on more. We added on write a pitch, because people might have a great talk but not get accepted. So mm-hmm. writing a great pitch, writing an outline, tips for becoming a better speaker, creating better slides. And so they walk out of it with a pitch, an outline, a title. They've practiced, most of them have practiced speaking in front of the group, and they feel like, yeah, I actually can do this. So it's a very hands-on way of building the confidence that you mentioned.
And in relation to what happens next, I know that I was watching a video earlier today where you speak about an individual, an example where she went through this training and she presented, I think it was at WordCamp Vancouver, and mm-hmm. an agency had saw her in the audience. What happened next?
So it was the first time that she spoke. She hadn't spoken in tech before. She took her workshop, spoke for the first time on our stage at WordCamp Vancouver. The agency spotted her, hunted her down. They, based on her talk, they really wanted to have her be one of their developers. And she became their first female developer and then quickly became their senior developer and team lead. And 3 years later, she is still the senior developer and team lead.
See, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And that's what's got to give you some of the fire to continue doing this and to take it to the next level.
Yeah, when I first started doing it, I was like, okay, there's a problem that everybody wants fixed, and it's something that I have stumbled on a solution that's working. But what really got me going is when I noticed the people taking a workshop and starting to speak, they started doing more in the community. They started taking on mm-hmm. organizing and leadership. There's some people in Vancouver who created a whole new meetup stream. One of the years of Vancouver was all women WordCamp organizers, and half of them were people who had taken our workshop and had started speaking. And I've just seen just all these amazing, it started there. And then as I've embraced it more, I've just seen more and more leadership, careers, people, you know, becoming more contributors, other people getting inspired by their ideas and running off and doing new things with it. It's really, that's the thing I'm really most excited about. I want to start with tech and then eventually spread this out to beyond tech and see what kind of world changes we can have if more kinds of people are organizing and leading. No, minor goals, no big deal.
So this effort is so important, and you've made such inroads to this that Matt Mullerweg has commented on it. In fact, he shared a link to the project on the blog, and Automatic recently announced that they're funding 50% sponsorship for you to continue on this endeavor. Tell us a little bit about that and what the sponsorship funds, what that will go towards.
Yeah. So I am so grateful and so excited. And just at the mention of again, I just have this huge smile again, because I'm so happy that this has come about. It was a bit of a journey to get sponsorship, and I had many conversations with Automatic, and in the end, Matt suggested that they sponsor me, and that happened. And so it's a 50% sponsorship. In order to have the bandwidth to be able to work on this project, I now have the money for half the time. And so, as I'm sure a lot of people who contribute to the project know, it's a lot of work. Managing a team is, I haven't managed a big team before. It's a big team. We have about 40 people come in and out constantly. It's a full-time job. So mm-hmm. I've now been doing the pitching to get sponsorship for this full-time job, and the kinds of things, now that I've got the 50% sponsorship, and hopefully some other companies will see what great work there is and step in for the other 25 or 50%. The kinds of things that we're doing with this is we're improving what we had before, and we're scaling up. So by improving, I mean, I took the approach that WordPress takes of don't have it perfect, just do iterate. So now we've got mm-hmm. stuff that works, but is pretty clunky. Not everybody shows up. We have training sessions for people to learn how to run the workshop. Half or less show up to those sessions, so improving the processes so more people show up. And also mm-hmm. Last year, as far as I know, there was 12 meetups in 6 countries who ran the workshop, which is fantastic. But also, we trained 45 cities, and so improving the processes so that more people actually follow through and run the workshop mm-hmm. as well. And in addition to that, also getting the word out, because the thing that happened at the end of 2017 is I spoke at WordCamp Seattle about this work before this project was born, and right afterwards, Andrew said, we need to talk. This project, it works, it's proven, we know it works, but not many people know it exists. And so by the end of that conversation with her, I was the lead of this team. And mm-hmm. The goal was get more people, more Jills out there doing the work, which is now happening, and get more meetups around the world to know that exists. We have over 800 meetups. That number is growing. When I started this work in end of 2017, it was 600 plus. Now it's 800 plus. I don't even know if it's more than that by now. And a lot of groups are having the same problem, and they just don't know that it's an issue. You know, they also mm-hmm. get called out or just see that their speaker, it's not that they wouldn't accept this more diverse speakers, it's that they're not applying in the first place. So getting mm-hmm. the word out to them that this exists, come find us, come run our workshop, take with or without the training, and let us know that you run it, and tell us your great stories afterwards of mm-hmm. what happened.
Right. And what I like about this, if you look at how it works, there are many avenues to get started or involved in WordPress, but one of them that is accessible to a lot of people throughout the world are the meetups. And the meetups are the places where, you know, for a lot of people, you finally get to go to a place where you're surrounded by your people, where, hey, these people also use WordPress. They know about WordPress. I can come here and I can talk about it. And then you do the training there for speaking. And once you build the confidence level up there for underrepresented groups or for women, then that could translate into applying for their local WordCamps in those areas. And then they become a speaker. And then that could translate into, you know, they become role models or underrepresented people see themselves on stage. And it's really like a grassroots effort to get these get underrepresented people and more women involved in not only just speaking, but leadership roles and just a more diverse project in general.
You just summarized everything perfectly. Can I just carry you in a box with me and just be like, yep, say the thing you just said.
But I think that's excellent and exactly what the project needs. I have sort of over the year, you know, I probably, if it were not for WordPress and covering WordPress and WordCamps and the tech space, I probably wouldn't know as much about the issue of diversity and genders and tech and pay gaps and women and the disrespect and the everything that goes on nowadays. And so, you know, it's great that something like this is happening. And I, for one, welcome a more diverse WordPress leadership team, a more team reps who are diverse and to get different opinions and perspectives. I mean, that's what we need. And, you know, it prevents the project from getting stale. And, you know, there are great things that happen when all these different perspectives come together. You can really create some great ideas for paths on moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Diversity is such a huge topic. And people say, let's fix diversity, but it's a really large, nebulous thing that has many facets to it. And so one of the things that really, I think, captured Automatic's attention and Matt's attention on this project, it is one specific thing that has an actual hands-on, actionable solution that produces results. And I also see it as it's one of the doorways in to working on the rest. Once more people are stepping up to speak and be role models and, like you said, you know, inspire other people, as well as they themselves may step up and start doing more as well. I can go on and on. All the different things that happen when people start getting up on stage, all the things that happen, that is one seed that has this amazing ripple effect to the diversity of a community.
And like it is said, like it, one of...
I was reading through this in diversity, and I have what may be a dumb question in terms of improving diversity, maybe at these conferences. But if as a white male, would I be part of the solution if I just didn't apply to speak at these tech conferences in the hopes that somebody else who may be underrepresented could fill in for me?
That is a really interesting question. So not applying to speak to encourage spots for other people. So I've never been asked that before. Congratulations, first of all.
Just something I thought of today, and I thought maybe it's a stupid question.
But. Well, and so that's one of the things I mentioned at WordCamp Miami with Josefa was like, it doesn't matter what your experience level is working on WordPress or if you're new or if you're an old timer like me, but like eventually I think you have to step away. You have to step aside and make room for other people. I mean, that's my own personal belief. I'm not trying to push that on anybody else, but that's one of the reasons why I stopped applying to speak at WordCamps is because there are 15 years worth of new WordPress developers that have stuff that they can share, that have experiences that are newer, that are different than mine, that just because, like, you know, I can apply and people want to hear what I have to say, doesn't necessarily mean that the right thing for me to do is apply and give a talk for someone that could be local, that could have it's a missed opportunity for somebody else. And so in my opinion, it does make sense for people that either are overrepresented or are just overexposed to the community to step aside and make room for other people. I think it makes total sense.
So what you're saying is this past WordCamp EU is the last time we're going to see you on a stage at a WordPress event. That's what you're saying.
Well, so I had joked a little bit with some Sandhills folks that, like, you know, this could easily be me retiring like Jordan, right? Like me giving this talk. There were only three tracks at WordCamp Europe, so there there was 1,000 people that were forced to listen to me, one. So that was pretty fun. But I went back to an old school type of WordPress talk. It was show and tell. It was not a very theoretical sort of pie in the sky type philosophical talk about the community and the direction or this or that. This was just, we built some cool things and we want to show you what it was. Mm. Like, those are the kind of talks that I think the type of training that you and your group provide is really, if you're not used to doing it or you're not comfortable doing it, is very, it's emotional. It's difficult to make people feel comfortable and get them into a place where like they can sit in front of 12 people or 1,000 people and just do show and tell, right? Like, just to get people comfortable with sharing a little bit of what they do or themselves or their experiences. It's easy for boys, because I feel like boys do show and tell with Transformers when they're 4 years old. It's not as easy for other people. So yeah. Like, there is a time for me to shut up and for to let other people start talking about the cool stuff that they're working on and doing.
Those are some really great perspectives, and it's making me think of things. For one thing, for some people, they do have a lot of things to work through in order to get up on stage. Diverse folks have not always the greatest life experiences. Not to say that everybody doesn't, but they can be pretty intense and on a whole different level that us white folks can't even fathom. So being able to putting themselves out there and getting up on stage can be a really big deal for a lot of people. And I do want to add on, so for the question about, does it help by stepping back? I'm going to say that I see pros and cons to both. So I'm going to officially not take a stance on that. But I will say that I've seen some people do something that I think is really great, which is say, if there isn't at least one other woman or diverse person or something, if I'm not sharing the stage with at least one other kind of person, then I'm not participating in this conference. And I think that's a really powerful stance to take. Either way, whatever your stance is on that, but actually doing the work to build more up, because you can't just step back and have a void. You need to actually do the work, like the workshop, and help people feel more comfortable wanting to even apply to speak in the first place.
And then sort of the second kind of part of this equation, at least in the WordPress world with the WordCamps, are the organizers, the people putting these things together, the people who are on these speaker selection committees or panels, where they have to, it'd be nice if they have this of the thought process of diversity, trying to create a diverse group of speakers, and not necessarily a group of people who have this thought process of, well, 6, 7, 8 women applied. They're automatically, it doesn't matter what we think of their talk, they're automatically going to be presenting at this WordCamp because we have to change these numbers around. That's the wrong approach to take. That essentially turns people into a statistic.
It's a bit tricky. I know in our case, the first year that we did it, we had 7 apply and we accepted 6. I see both sides. You don't want just statistics, but you also want diverse voices. So it's kind of, you don't want to accept people just because they're the unicorn who's a different kind of person. But on the other hand, you do want those people speaking as well. So what we did in WordCamp Vancouver, the 3 years that I was on the speaker selection committee, is we do a first pass to see what are all the talks that are even possible that we'd want in. And then we'd look at a split between local and non-local, especially in Vancouver. We don't really have too many cities around us, so we'd have a little bit more balance of the non-local folks, even though they really encourage more local, which is another reason why they really love this workshop, because it brings up more local voices. But we'd look at local, non-local, men, women, developer, non-developer, and between all that, it worked out that the years that we started focusing on it, the next 2 years I was part of it, we had 50% speakers both those years, 50% women speakers. It really, really helped that the next year we had so many women apply that we actually had three times the number of women that we had speaker slots. So once that happens, it becomes easy. You're not just picking by numbers, you're picking by what is great. And so doing the work to get people speaking at the meetups, so then they want to apply to speak at the WordCamps, will give you more numbers to so that you're not just picking just so that you've got them there to have the numbers, but will give you the kind of programming that you want as well.
And somebody who's done a great job with this and the organizer team is David Bista and the organizers of WordCamp Miami, which is a huge camp. It's turned out to be a huge event every year in the U.S. And they've made a specific point to focus on diversity and to have a diverse set of speakers. And within this past WordCamp, I think they were almost at 50% speakers, 50% women for speakers. So they're making a huge progress, at least down there, for a huge WordPress event.
That is fantastic. And shout out to the highest numbers that I'm aware of. Seattle in 2017 had 60%, and Vancouver in 2018 had 63%. So kind of great. And that was specifically people who identify as women.
All right. So how can people, if people love hearing what you're doing and they want to get involved, how can they participate in this project? How can they help you and others?
Yeah, great question. So if you're a meetup, I'll say for the different kinds of people, if you're a meetup, we have a form to fill out at tiny.cc/WP diversity to let us know that you want to run the training and also request help if you want the training from us to run the workshop. People who want to become volunteers for this amazing, fun project, which is the WordPress Diverse Speaker Training Group. Basically, find me on Slack, Jill Binder, or find any of my posts on the community website, which is make.wordpress. I always forget if it's .org or .com.
.org.
Thank you. /community. And I have tons of posts on there. Comment on any of those. And then if you're a company and you would really like to make sure that this work keeps happening, because right now I've only got 50% of my time covered, and that is not the amount that this project needs. And so to see it keep running, you can contact me on my website, diverseinn.tech, or Slack or Twitter. I'm Jill Binder on all the places. And also, if you're not WordPress and you're like, oh, this sounds amazing, I wish I could have this for my community, now you can. I'm expanding this work to other techs, and I'm really happy to say that in 2 weeks, Magento is having their first workshop, and in September, Drupal is having their first workshop.
There we go.
And I'm right now lining up workshops for next year. So contact me if you'd like to open up the diversity of your conferences or even people speaking up in or on behalf of your company.
Well, Joe, I just want to say thanks a lot for the work that you're doing and for finding a means and a way that appears to be working based on the numbers of getting more diverse people, not only speaking, but involved in other aspects of WordPress. Thank you and your team and the volunteers out there as well for contributing to this project. And I wouldn't mind having you on again. If you'd like, I invite you on, you know, within 6 months, maybe one around or just after WordCamp US, to where we could talk about what's new with the project and I can help spread the word for you.
I want to hear about the progress for Magento and Drupal. Ooh. I want to hear about how those go. And I, I agree with Jeff. I want to second everything he said. It is an enormous amount of effort and a lot of work. It's difficult work. I mean, it's rewarding and it's fun and you're building something really from the ground up, but I have a lot of experience and can appreciate how it feels to do the work not knowing whether or not you're being sponsored or getting paid or how that's going to work or how in debt you're going to go trying to see this through. And so I can appreciate that. And not to make this too meta, but you know, sometimes we don't have a lot of diversity on the podcast. You know, we struggle a little bit as just two dudes on a show, and we joke about it occasionally, but it is a serious topic that like
show.
We do really appreciate having a diverse guests and group of people to talk about everything that it is that's going on. And so I appreciate you being on the show. I appreciate all the work that you've put in, all the time that's gone into it. It's a lot. And I appreciate it. It's great. It's awesome.
Thank you so much to both of you. Thank you for playing your part in helping to spread the word about this. And also, yes, thank you. There's so many people who have put work into the workshop and the volunteers doing the project. And so thank you to everybody who has contributed to this.
All right, Joe, I hope to see you in a few months with reports, some updates on what's going on. Until then, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
All right, there you have it, folks. That was Joe Bondier, the trainer, the chief consultant and trainer at Diverse Speakers in Tech, and leading the Diverse Speaker Training Group, something that's really cool within the WordPress community.
It's you know how there are so many people in the WordPress community, and then you start focusing and put your head down and working on your own area of the thing that you think you can make an impact in, and it's like, I don't really overlap with Jill ever, so it's like really awesome to have her on the show, because it's we've known each other for a long time, and it's cool. I don't know, it's a special episode, I guess. It's fun.
So I do want to cover a couple of news topics, and then I think at the end I'll let you tell us a little bit about your review of WordCamp EU, because you were there, you're on the ground. Yeah. So I want to hear about what happened. So one of the tidbits of news is that Pantheon has announced early access for their local dev environment. It's called Pantheon Local Dev, which just so happens to be the third local dev environment tied to a host that's been released in recent weeks. The current version is 0.4.2, so it's still in early access state, but it's been through extensive internal testing and is being put through its paces by members of their Heroes community, which I believe is probably a beta testing group for things that they're working on. Now, Pantheon says that the mission for local dev is to democratize access to Pantheon's web ops workflow, which, by the way, everybody seems to be democratizing something these days. I don't know if anyone's noticed. I've noticed. And they also say that while it's built on top of a modern stack, which includes both Docker and Lando, it presents a polished and easy-to-use GUI interface for getting sites from Pantheon into a workable local state. However, they say that power developers who are comfortable with the CLI or command line interface are likely to have more fun just working with Lando directly. So they're working on that. So you have Pantheon Local Dev, you've got Local by Flywheel, you've got WP Engine, DevKit. You know, and kind of unfortunately for Pantheon, when they released this, the news was kind of like, poo-poo, oh no, this is a thing. It's all recent within other hosts that have local dev environments, and we've talked about this before, where I kind of jokingly said, hey, you know, if you've got clients on all these different sites, you're going to have to install these local dev environments where you can, you know, makes it easier to, you know, push and pull projects to these hosts, which led to a conversation by Morten Rand Hendrickson saying that this, having all these different local environments that are tied to a host, which some describe as vendor lock-in, we need some sort of open tool, maybe something built in core for a local dev environment. I was taking a look at Lando, and Lando seems to fill the needs of being that open source kind of local dev tool, which Pantheon Local Dev is built on.
Lando seems to be the thing that's like, I haven't tried it yet. I've been meaning to, but I haven't had the time. I have coworkers that have been using Lando for a little bit now that swear by it. One of the things that I look forward to specifically with Lando, in theory, is like better battery life, because you're not running all of this extra additional environmental things in a virtual machine. You're not running a separate environment. You're letting Lando take care of it. So Pantheon's approach seems to be kind of the one to take. And it also sounds like the beta version of local from the folks at Flywheel. I don't know if it's using Lando, but it sounds like they have fixed some of the battery life virtualization issues. And so, I mean, there were lots of threads. There was Morten's thread. There was Chris Lemus' thread that I chimed in on a little bit. We've talked about it on the show.
And he confirmed Liquid Web is not working on a local dev environment tool for Liquid Web.
Right. And it's like, this is one of those things. Like, it is really good and healthy that there are many people trying to solve this problem. Like, that is a good thing. It might not seem like it, and there's going to be weird times for a while for a lot of people, but it is important. Again, we just got done talking to Jill. Like, diversity is important. And so, like, in order for us to come up with that panacea of local WordPress development. We need to have a bunch of different options available to us to kind of figure out what it is that we want to take the best pieces of and make something great. But
it's like local dev environment natural selection.
Kind of, right? I mean, we need to be able to see it. You'd be like, MAMP has been, I mean, MAMP for a really long time. Andy Dason used MAMP. I used MAMP for years. There are a lot of people that use MAMP. MAMP Pro is MAMP, worth WAMP, the money, exam, frankly. Yep, there it's those are all they're tested.
And if you visit the websites of all these local dev environments, they all say at the top, number one local dev environment.
I know. And I get it, right? Like it's if you use Pantheon, like their tool will be familiar. You will feel comfortable using Pantheon's tool. Like I downloaded it, I activated it. I didn't actually get to use it for anything again, but you'll feel right at home. Flywheel's app is wonderful. It's like they really did kind of nail the UI on this one. Desktop server, there are like a bunch that ServerPress, right? Like there's a bunch that have been around for a long time, but I feel like local from the folks at Flywheel was the first one that like made it really easy and felt more modern and like really made it like, I don't know, like a good, like it, like it made a lot of sense. And so
at least with Pantheon, their dev kit being built on top of or using Lando makes it seem like vendor lock-in isn't a thing, because if you just want to use Lando, you could just use Lando. But if you have clients on Pantheon or you want extra features that make it easy to push and pull to Pantheon, well, then you could use their dev kit.
But the one thing on my soapbox like that I tweeted in Chris Lemus' thing in his thread, not to like take over his idea or anything, but like the thing that bugs me the most about it is that it's going to take a couple of years for everyone to figure this out. And those few years, while everyone is working on their own solution to this problem, are generally going to be like everyone solving their own problems instead of trying to bubble those fixes and solving those problems up into WordPress core the way that generally has worked for WordPress up until now. And so,
which is what most of the dev kits already are anyways, is people solving their own problems that they've had with other dev kits.
Right, exactly. And so like the problem is that there's a lot of effort and time and money that's going to go into every single one of these companies investing in a team of people to build these local environments. And that's great. But there is a little bit of like, I don't know if it's a responsibility or an expectation. I don't know what the word is, but like, the I hope that the responsible thing to do is to take the things that you learn from those and make sure that WordPress core is improved as a result of the effort that goes into each one of these environments. Because frankly, like that is the key feature of WordPress. The key feature is not a block-based editor. It is not whatever the fancy thing of the day or the year is. Like the best feature in WordPress is that it is relatively platform agnostic or like environment agnostic. Like WordPress works because it is allowed to work with a pretty vast array of PHP versions or server configurations or environment configurations or pieces of software turned on or not turned on, PHP modules turned on or off, like rewrite rules or whatever else. Like WordPress exists and is what it is as a platform because of the multiple types of server environments that it's able to run in. And so like if all of these hosts build their own local environments for their own walled gardens without sharing what the things are that they're using that are turned on or off, then WordPress doesn't remain the flexible piece of software that it is today. It's going to stay rigid for all of these little individual nuances that every host has to try and be better than everyone else. Like competition's healthy and it's great and all those things. I get that. But, my thought is like,
So with all those things you said about platform agnostic and all the benefits of WordPress, having a dev environment or dev kit built into core or somehow core taking care of this issue seems like it'd be counterproductive to what you just said.
Because then
it seems like it would be tying itself to a specific platform and to a specific configuration.
Right. Right. And so like a quality WordPress developer will be able to use the APIs that come with WordPress to write plugins or themes or API endpoints or front ends or code or whatever you need to do. The environment does not matter. It literally does not matter. Like deploying it from your local machine to your web host might be, that's the problem that everyone is kind of concentrating on solving right now. And that's great. But the code that you write should not matter what the local environment is running in. Like the only reason to have a different local environment should be because you like the UI or you like the tools that it provides you. And right now the tools, everyone's doing something different. Everybody includes something different and everybody has their own caching that's in there. And some of that caching works for some things and not for others. And some of it works for sessions and sessions break other things. And like this whole, like everyone kind of scrambling to solve these problems is making life much more difficult for developers because there are several different kinds of very specific environments that people have to code for instead of there being the same one relatively ubiquitous set of WordPress core APIs that developers can count on using. And so it's important that we have diversity in people solving these problems, but the goal shouldn't be to have like all of these different local environments that compare and contrast and conflict with one another. The goal should be to write WordPress related code that runs anywhere. Because it is possible to do using the WordPress core APIs and even rolling your own safely. Like, so that's the whole thing. So my rant to Chris and my closing rant to this and my idea that maybe isn't going to gain a whole lot of traction on Twitter or maybe not even to our listeners, but like it is not uncommon for businesses that are similar to one another to form some kind of consortium, like the World Wide Web Consortium. Like there are other examples, better examples than that, of companies that are competitors, but that do use the same foundation and core, like WebKit or something, where they all agree to kind of work together on the things that they should or feel comfortable working on together with a board of directors or with bylaws or with expectations on how to behave within this consortium and to solve the same problems, but just allowing everyone to kind of wrap their design or their aesthetic or their approach into their own version of a web browser, their own version of a local development tool or whatever else. Like it might be premature and it might not happen because I know that people are afraid of like, you know, their secret sauce leaking and not having a leg up on each other and whatever else. But that's what consortiums are for, is to like create those boundaries, to like have a safe environment for people that are trying to solve the exact same problems to do it together in a safe way in a place. So like, again, my soapbox rant on this is over and done, but like that's how I feel about it.
From John's rant to WooCommerce 3.6.5 has been released. It's actually a security release. It contains quite a few fixes to harden security. The WooCommerce team says they encourage people to update your stores as soon as possible. There's over 70 commits in this release. You could check them out in detail on the WooCommerce.com blog. So as far as I know, it's just a hardened security. There's no active security exploits or anything in the wild. It's just, hey, we've improved security, so update as soon as possible so your site is safer as a result.
The only two security things they mentioned are like a very specific file type check on a tax rate importer and the anons check on the CSV importer. So these were just like two very small importer-related security hardening things that would be very difficult for anybody to exploit. They would probably already have to have some other level of access to exploit something. So everything else here is fixes and enhancements.
And the Jetpack team has released another major version, 7.5. And this one debuts a new feature called Magic Links. So now you can log into the WordPress mobile app in one click without using passwords or a password manager or trying to use that keyboard on on an iPhone or an iPad. If you visit the main Jetpack dashboard in your site's admin area, you can email yourself a magic link by clicking the login to the WordPress mobile app which to show an example of there. The link will show up in your inbox, and it should be as simple as that to log in to the site. They've also paid attention to the UI, the microcopy, the headings throughout the plugin. They've gone through and they've kind of cleared things up, clarified some of the wording and the text throughout the plugin. And I imagine that was some work because there's a lot of headings and text and stuff, you know, and Jetpack. Yep. So they've made a lot of work on there. You can download Jetpack 7.5. In fact, they just recently pushed out 7.5.1, which doesn't have any functionality changes, but it does fix a bug when attempting to delete the Jetpack plugin. It also addresses the new PHP minimum requirement in Jetpack 7.5. And it's interesting about this version. I updated late last night Jetpack to 7.5.1 on the Tavern, and I ended up getting an email about an error that was discovered on the Tavern, like from a site health check or something error from a plugin, and it had something to do with Jetpack. So I don't know if it had something to do with this version or had an issue re-enabling the plugin, but I got the email. So I'm just going to ignore it, and we'll see what happens next time when I update the Jetpack plugin, which I also saw somebody in the comments reported the same thing. So who knows?
I really like their update posts. Like, sanding down the edges is one of those like metaphors that I use a lot when it comes to these kinds of things. Like, WordPress needs to do this too. Like, over time, a lot of the verbiage choices or the decisions, they just don't blend together. They don't come from the same voice. They don't make a lot of sense. They get kind of, like Jill said earlier, they get put in quickly. They don't get deeply scrutinized, or they get so scrutinized that somebody just makes a decision and gets sick of talking about it. And then eventually it just, it feels a little snaggy. It feels a little sharp. And so going through every screen, every language, string used, every button to make sure that it all makes sense is like not maybe the most rewarding work in the world for someone to do, but it is really, really important that everything feel cohesive. So it's good to see.
And we'll end the news segment with a bit of a controversial / discussion topic. It was a tweet by John O. Nolan, who is the founder and CEO of Ghost, an open source publishing platform. And in his tweet, he says, quote, "Can never decide if I'm flattered or horrified that a $1.1 billion, 1,000-person company with 83% share of CMS market seriously employs a full-time team dedicated to attacking a 12-person bootstrap nonprofit org with an open-source product." And he includes a screenshot of an email from WordPress.com's concierge service. I will read this email because it's important if we're going to discuss this. And the email starts off with, "Greetings. My name is," been blacked out.
Redacted.
"And I work at Automattic, the company behind WordPress.com and other WordPress-related tools and services. My colleagues noticed that you may have been having some trouble on Medium and decided to move freecodecamp.org to Ghost." Now, that's a big-time site that was hosted on Medium. "Did you consider moving the site to WordPress? I work on a special projects team that helps influential people and organizations launch WordPress sites. If you're interested, we could chat about what our team could help with if you are interested in using WordPress. Parentheses, usually hosting and migration help along with design updates if needed, end parentheses. We can also help with performance and security or whatever else you might have questions about." And he underlines in the next section, "To be clear, we don't change anything for our services. We don't charge anything for our services. We just want to empower people who are doing interesting things. If you're interested in hearing us out, just let me know and we can set up a call or keep the conversation going by email. Thanks." So with that email, I initially thought, what's the problem here? It's the marketing team doing a marketing pitch. There's no attacks going on here. But as I've read the replies, and this has received a lot of replies, a lot of likes, a lot of retweets.
Yes, it has.
I can see now why there is a gray area, at the very least a gray area, if not what some people consider slimy tactics, in terms of a company like Automattic going to a client for a competing open source publishing platform or host in Ghost and offering services for free in order to entice them to switch to their company. And that's where I could see why so many people see why this is an issue. And I, you know, at first I thought, you know, no big deal, but a lot of people have weighed in on this, including Matt Mulloway himself. And Matt actually responded to these tweets where he says, quote, "I often send these emails myself. So does Dries. You can see him admit to it in 2009, referencing an email sent in 2002. And he references a link to a keynote called the Skullduggery. Matt also goes on to say that we do have a full-time concierge team that helps prominent sites move to WordPress. No payment or anything expected. They also offer existing WordPress sites help. They're really good. In fact, if anyone with a prominent site would like an introduction, let me know." He also continues with, "This is really just to get sites we admire, like Free Code Camp on WordPress. There's no upsell later. Quincy Larson, who started Free Code Camp, shared his email address with my colleagues via Twitter direct message and said, I'd be excited to hear your thoughts. So they emailed him, and somehow that email ended up on Twitter. And then he concludes by saying, we did this when we were tiny too. Everyone does it every size. That's why I pointed to the old DrupalCon video. I also try to convert my Uber drivers and people I meet on planes and friends of friends," end quote. So I'm happy to see at least Matt chime in on the conversation and be part of the conversation. But first, I want you to give your analogy to me about steaks, because I have received some feedback about they enjoyed your analogy.
Oh, and no.
What your thoughts are on this.
Oh, no. I mean, it's like my analogy is that it's a little bit like you, Jeff, take your wife out for like a prepaid, wonderful steak dinner, which I know you appreciate and enjoy very much.
Which is going to happen Friday.
And you sit down at the table and you eat your steak dinner and you're happy and your wife is happy and everybody is full. And then the neighboring restaurant, maybe the chef comes over and then says, hey, we can offer you free and unlimited steak next door. And you've already spent the money on your steak. You were already happy. And now someone comes into a place where you don't expect them to be, which, I mean, Matt sort of clarified maybe part of my analogy as being sort of off the mark. But and then sniping you or kind of like diminishing your experience at the restaurant that you just had for the dinner you just ate. Like Free Code Camp moved off of Medium onto Ghost. They were happy, seemingly happy. And then they sort of get out of the blue or from out of nowhere after the job is already done. After, in theory, someone may have, let's assume, paid someone to move them off of Medium to Free Code Camp or to Ghost. I'm assuming Free Code Camp didn't spend $0 to make that move. They had to have spent some money at some point. So to have someone come back after the fact and say like, "Hey, we'll help you out for free," it's not classy. It doesn't seem right. It's not what you expect, and it's not where you expect it to happen. And I get that point.
Is it similar to like a prominent web host going down and another managed WordPress web host saying, "Hey, look, they're down and we're up, and we'll offer you a discount to come on over and switch if you want"?
Well, I mean, that happened recently, right?
Yes, but it happened. So it's not classy.
It depends, right? Like when that happened with one of the web hosts, it sounded like the web host was like they were abolishing their service, right? Like they were just canceling customers on the fly. And so it is one thing if you really are like offering a service or bailing somebody out, or you're there to support someone in a time of need. The difference is that Free Code Camp seemingly was not in a time of need. Their needs were met. And so to come in and say, "Yeah, we're happy that your needs were met, but we're going to try and meet them a little bit better in a different way, and you don't have to pay us to do it," is very generous. But
to John's point, how can his 12-person company compete against that kind of offer?
Right. Right. And like, shout out to John O'Nolan, who, again, have known for a long time. Great public speaker, super awesome person. One of those people that I wish I like was cool enough to spend time with and hang out with more, but I know that I'm not. But like, he was an old time WordPress contributor who got frustrated by the environment and the process and and went out to very successfully create Ghost, really as a result of his poor experiences contributing to WordPress. And so, like, to have a small company that is very specifically set up as a nonprofit org, to know that the for-profit corporation that, you know, you've kind of really disliked strongly enough to make your own CMS is continuing to follow you and attempting to take some of the like higher profile sites or replatform them is, I mean, my analogy afterwards was, you know, this is like if every time you succeed and every time you take a step forward, you do something that you feel like is successful and healthy or is something that's worth celebrating, that like the Grim Reaper is constantly knocking on your door like, hello, we're here. Just, we're still here. Don't forget about me being over here, knowing that they can kind of just squash you at any time with bigger budgets, the offer of free labor, the 1,000 people versus 12 or however many people are on the special projects team. Like, I am sort of kind of, embellishing a little bit, but I can empathize with how that must feel. And it doesn't sit super awesome, but I mean, Matt cleared up some things. And I get where Matt's enthusiasm and passion and all those things come from too, right? It's not like these are two unrelatable perspectives here, but...
And John brought up in his other tweets a lot of stuff regarding automatic and some mm-hmm, issues that mm-hmm. have gone on in the past. And somebody had asked Matt, well, what about all these other issues that have been brought up? And Matt said, it'd be better to debunk these warm conspiracy theories, something to that effect, within a blog post that he hopes, with a lot of links that he hopes to... published maybe by the end of this month or next, because John talks about how they stole a theme of his and mm-hmm. retook the GPL copyright out of it. And they talk about the Chris Pearson stuff and how Automatic tried to steal the trademark. There's all kinds mm-hmm. of stuff that was added onto this, but you know, from the email, I mean, I guess it all comes down to timing, context, and you know, basically what they're offering at that time and the company who's offering it.
There's a little bit of like, you know, there's a little bit of history here also. And so like,
it's not just your standard marketing pitch.
That's hard. That is hard to forget about or get rid of. And so like, for example, and this is, again, totally speculating, but I'll throw it out there since we're talking about it. So one of the things that John, had tweeted is price fixing for the dot blog registries. And so he has a screenshot of a few blogger.blog as being priced at $250, medium.blog is $250, and then ghost.blog is being $5,220. And so here's my hot take on this, right? Is like, Ghost is just a word. And so it is a common word. It is a popular word. And so like, I know for a while, they didn't have three letter domains for .blog. They just weren't available. You couldn't even register them. They just weren't around. And so like, it's one thing if you just reached out and said, hey, can we get ghost.blog for not $5,000? We don't know that they didn't ask. We don't know if that conversation happened or didn't happen. But I kind of assume that like, if John would have just reached out and said, hey, why is this so much? Can we not spend $5,000 on this? That like a different approach might yield different results. But if what you do, and like contrary to like, you know, and I'm not calling John out for this because I've gone on my own Twitter rants in the past, but like John sort of stored up a ton of energy here and then kind of hadoukened a big fireball about like multiple things that, kind of ticked him off. And so like, this is a lot, there's a lot here. And, that is one of those things that like, I don't know, you kind of gotta, it's hard to let it go and it's hard to move on from it. But if you want to have a better working relationship with somebody and you don't want to have them competing against you or working against you. The only way to do that is to like be open and communicate and have those conversations and like have an understanding and like a mutual sort of a beer summit. You sit down, have some beers and like hammer it out. Like if it's really impossible and you can't see eye to eye and you can't get along and you're never going to be friends, that is also perfectly fine. But at least now you know that. And like, if that's where this is, then I guess get over it. Like storing up all this energy and like firing stuff back and forth is like a lot of wasted effort when like it doesn't focus on any of the cool stuff that anybody's doing or working on. It's really just like, it just doesn't sit well. Nobody wins from
it's like Goku fighting Cell and planet Earth just gets destroyed.
That's right. Yes. It's exactly what it is, right?
Reference. All right.
There you go. Worked one into the show.
let's move on to our last and final thing. Tell us briefly, if you could, what your experience was like at WordCamp EU in Berlin.
You and our listeners both know that anything is never brief.
I know. That's why I said briefly, just so you at least heard the word.
So I will tell you, Jeff, what I have told everyone else, which is WordCamp Europe this year was the best WordCamp I've ever been to. Like hands down, it was the best. The tons of volunteers, all tons of great speakers. The venue was great. Berlin is a beautiful, fun, thriving city. Different than you know what I'm used to living in the old Midwestern in the United States, but very cool and I'm very impressed. Like I left just very impressed with the enormous amount of effort that it takes to run an event of 3,000 people plus. Three tracks, every room, every track was like super well attended, which is great as a speaker, frankly, because like you don't feel like you have an empty room. Like every room was packed. Tons of water and refreshments and snacks available. Like all of the amenities, like it's something that like for WordCamp US would be really nice, but it is a little bit difficult to do is like what a lot of conferences do is like having the hotel be the venue is like an amazingly convenient thing.
Oh yeah.
Like you just run up to your room and drop your laptop off or drop your bag off or run up to the room and take a nap if you need to or whatever. Take a nap, take a shower, whatever you got to do.
I'm socially overloaded. I have to go to my room.
Yeah, you can do it in 30 seconds, right? Like it's just so great to have those two things be in the same place. The first, the 3 days that WordCamp Europe was happening, I didn't leave the hotel. It wasn't until
Did you get a chance to see and talk to Marcel?
I didn't. Okay. I intersected, I think, accidentally briefly with Rarst, who I have never met in person. But tried to, but wasn't able to make it happen. But like, it was the first time I got to meet Steven Edgar in person, a long time BB Press contributor, long time Meta contributor.
Cool. Must have been a moment.
It was awesome. It was like I got to meet Sergey, who I have not met in person. It was Sergey's birthday that week, which it was just like there were so many people that. I have not met in person that I got to hang out with that I don't think I would have gotten to hang out with in any other way in like everyone's sort of comfortable environment. Like we talked about earlier with Jill, like culturally Europe being just Europe, but also like WordPress being WordPress. It was just like a very low stress, very high rewarding environment and time to just hang out with everybody. Like, my talk was well received, which I mean, selfishly, like I'm always happy about, but like, everybody's talks were just like outstanding, phenomenal, like really high quality talks. And,
did you go to the after party? Was there a strip tease?
So I did go to the after party. There was not a strip tease.
Okay. Jeff.
Sorry to disappoint you, I guess. But
no,
like,
no, you're not disappointing
okay.
me.
Okay. But there was a moment where I think like the performers on stage probably went like one click over what the community would probably consider to be.
What they did is they went one click over what was not expected, because the WordCamp EU organizing team have already issued apologies and explanations for what happened. They had people who watched the show as the way it was meant to be, and what they ended up getting was something not what they expected.
That's exactly right. And so it is the performers that were great. I mean, they worked hard and they did a really good job. And given the theme of what WordCamp Europe's after party was, theme. which was 80s, which, like, there were tons of people that did they were great costumes. They traveled halfway across from wherever to bring their costume with them.
And shout out to Aaron Campbell. He had Marty McFly, the rainbow hat on. Marty Jr. It was cool.
Yep. It was just all around awesome. Like, it's it raised the bar for me quite a bit.
I'm happy and glad that you got to go and experience
me too.
That city.
So we had a few other Sandhills employees were there. Michael Beal, Kyle Maurer, Drew Janes. We got to hang out with Michael, which is something we don't get to do all that frequently. And so that was really fun. It was just so much.
So all in all, just an awesome experience you remember for life.
So here's my closing statement about it quickly, because I can see that you're getting antsy about it. And we're already over the end of the show.
Yeah.
What 420 Europe. What they did really well, what my favorite part of it was that the vendor area or like the sponsor booth area, like, it felt more like a trade show. It felt like a bigger than WordCamp US, bigger than most of the other WordCamps. Like, everybody really went all out with having really great booths. Like, it felt like South by Southwest. It felt like not a WordCamp. I mean, Google had a big thing last year at WordCamp US with their site kit launch, and or the launch even. It was the same booth. But everybody's booths were like big and spacious and comfortable and fun, and like tons of presence, lots of employees, lots of like people in the vendor area talking and sharing and like hanging out with other people. So I got to meet a bunch of people from Gravity Forms that I hadn't met before, some folks from Delicious Brains. Like, they're just people that, like, you know, you have to travel halfway across the world to run into that you don't ever see otherwise. So, but the vendor booth area is cool. Like, it wasn't just tables with a tablecloth over it sitting in a dark corner of a school gymnasium or something. Like, it just felt like a really different kind of conference, more than a camp, but still felt comfortable. I don't know. It was just cool. It was like a good juxtaposition. It was like all around amazing event.
All right. I'm glad that you're back, and I'm glad that the plane made it. I thought maybe you might have gotten a plane. You couldn't find East Troy, Wisconsin. You got lost coming back, but you're back, and I'm glad to have you back. And great that you had an awesome experience at WordCamp EU.
I am happy to be back. The Berlin airport is an interesting one, because it's very small and not air conditioned and a little slow, if I'm going to say that. Like, security was real slow, plane was delayed. I guess got to spend some time with Andrea Bishop from Automatic, who I've known for a very long time, which is always fun to see Andrea. And Andrea Middleton was on my flight there. There was like just, I don't know, like lots of cool hanging out with people that, like with Jill on the show today, is like a good couple of weeks of like reminiscing and remembering a lot of the stuff. So it was all good. It's a lot of fun.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for this edition of WordPress Weekly, the pre-July 4th celebration that we usually have every year. Everybody, you can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on wptavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, JeffrR0. And
me at JJJ on GitHub and Twitter, and JJJ.blog.
All right, so as I say every year, do not put fireworks where they shouldn't go and light them. Do not, practice all safety procedures. And for the love of God, if you've been drinking, stay away. Just go somewhere and watch. Stay away.
Yeah.
Stay safe. And we'll talk to you again next Wednesday afternoon. Everybody enjoy. Hopefully you have a safe and healthy 4th of July weekend. Of course, if you're in the U.S., if you're in the EU, what do you care? So, but all right, we'll talk to you again next Wednesday. Say bye, everybody. Say bye, John.
Bye, everybody. Bye, John.